Hey, what it do, sports fans? Welcome to the Sports Live podcast brought to you by Multimedia Live. I'm Sboom Jikeliso, your host, and I will be joined by various guests on this exciting new podcast to discuss the latest ins and outs of the sporting world. Now, I didn't think I'd have to bring bad news. I do have good news as well, but I didn't think this week would be the week that I announced that I will be stepping down from hosting and co-producing the Sports Live podcast. Yeah, this is the last episode you will hear my voice on this very podcast that we started in the end of May, June last year. Remember our first episode, which aired on the 5th of June, which was called Major Wonder, Mabunda's Bushiri Complex. I was sitting down with Mahlatsi Mphahlele at the Arena Holdings building, and we were really just piloting this idea and thinking that, you know, I don't know how far it'll go. In fact, the idea came about because, you know, right after I'd been involved with the Bobs cast, the podcast that I did with Qobani Bobo, the former Springbok, I approached Scott at Pod Meet. I went to Wits downtown Johannesburg for a nice little social networking or podcast networking gig, which was called Pod Meet. And that's where I got to meet other aspirant podcasters or people who were already doing podcasts. And that's where I met Scott Smith as well as Paige Muller. And I pitched them the idea of having this very podcast on Times Live, Sowetan Live, and all multimedia platforms. And it turned out to be a great day indeed, because they were like, yeah, give me a shout. We exchanged details, and from there, the conversation got going and the ball got rolling. And here we are. We've done probably close to 50 episodes. This is officially episode 39, but there have been all sorts of off-the-cuff specials in between there. I remember when there was that Eben Etzebeth controversy coming in and calling people, and that was very, very exciting. And of course, it culminated with us winning the SAB Sports Media Awards Newcomer of the Year for the audio category. And I accepted that award on behalf of everybody else, I guess, who was part of making this podcast a success. I can include Scott in there, who's the head of the multimedia live department at Arena Holdings, Paige Muller, who's the audio assistant at the same company, as well as Innocent Manyike, who did a lot of mixing and a lot of stuff in the background to make everything sound really, really good. I can also thank the sports department, which chipped in when I needed analysis and the views of sports writers, especially Arena Holding sports writers, the likes of Mark Stradom, Ninao Ntloko, Mahlatsi Mphahlele, who I mentioned before, Kanye Sochwaku. And it's a pity we couldn't get more. I mean, Sowetan guys also chipped in. And I really, really want to thank everybody that came in and featured on this podcast. We've obviously had loads and loads of players and coaches that have come in. I remember when we had Banyana head coach Desiree Ellis. I was so starstruck in the studio. You know, I was slightly nervous because she was the highest profile interviewee that we had in the studio at the time. And I think to date still, I don't think we've had a higher caliber person or who holds a higher position than national team coach than we did when we had Desiree Ellis. So I'm really, really proud of the guys and the effort that we really put in. But because of my career pursuits, I'm having to step away from the podcast and pursue other ventures which might conflict with what I'm already doing. Or what I've done already for the Arena Holdings Group. It's been a pleasure. And I hope you've really, really enjoyed the stuff that we did, man. I mean, bringing you stuff from East London 10s, talking to Bantu Olomisa when he said that Mbuyiseni Ndlovu was not the god of sport. I remember talking to Warren Whiteley and Ryan Kankowski minutes after the Springboks won the Rugby World Cup, speaking to Bucky's Porter before we won the World Cup, saying, Sia will lift the trophy. Man, he should give me some lottery numbers, that guy. And there were so many other great episode. Peter Stemmert joined us from Doha, where Team South Africa had competed in the World Athletics Championships and didn't do well. And we unpacked what in the world went wrong there. Junior Steinbank came in and we talked about what it actually takes to become an award-winning sports journalist. And that was a great episode where we got to chop it up and really talk about the profession. We've had some very, very, very good in-depth interviews. I remember speaking to Mzuake Nkosi as well as Piwe Nomlomo, who are both now within the Golden Lions and Sharks ranks, about nurturing young talent in this country, especially black young talent. And that was amazing. I remember unpacking the Apiwe Tyanki story. And most recently, doing the 50th anniversary Kaizer Chiefs tribute that featured Lebohang Manyama, as well as the man himself, the founder himself, Kaizer Motaung Senior. And that was an amazing package. We took 2 weeks to put that together, bits and pieces. We had a lot of help, guys like Velile Mnyandu, previously known as Velile Mbuli of the SABC. We got great studio assistance from Udo Karasa, as well as Justice Killian, who let us record the Lebohang Manyama interview. And speaking of which, this episode, which is the final episode, is the full interview I had with Lebohang Manyama, where he's talking about his time in Turkey, coming back to South Africa, getting into an accident, getting injured, not really kicking on right from the start in his return to South Africa, having left as the best player in this league. Yeah, he was the PSL player of the year he left to go for Turkey, to go play in Turkey. And when he came back, his star had waned a little bit and a lot of people weren't sure whether he was going to cut the mustard at a big club like Kaizer Chiefs, of course, the biggest club in the country. He did come back, and what we saw was, especially in this season that's been interrupted by this worldwide spread of the coronavirus, Lebohang Manyama has stepped up to be the fulcrum of the Kaizer Chiefs team. Him and Nurkovic, I think, have been the two best players in the whole league. I would go so far as to say Lebohang Manyama is my leading candidate for PSL Player of the Year, should we come to a conclusion in this very season. If it ended now, he'd get my vote. If the chairman said this is it, cut off point, we give the league to Chiefs, Lebohang Manyama would be my player of the season. Of course, he got the winner, the one and only goal in that crucial Soweto derby in February, the 1-0 win for Kaizer Chiefs. Over and above that, man, I think he's got about 6 goals this season and some assists in there as well. His goals have actually contributed to winning games in the Kaizer Chiefs team. I remember in the very first game of the season, they were playing Highlands Park, very, very tough Highlands Park team, which I think they played at Mokgolong Stadium. And he got them over the line there as well. I think he scored twice, including the winner for Chiefs to win 3-2. And that they set the marker for this season. And I get to chat to him, to chop it up one-on-one with Lebohang Manyama, to speak to him about, you know, coming back, what it means to play for Kaizer Chiefs in the 50th year. You might have heard it if you might have heard a little bit of it if you heard our Kaizer Chiefs 50th anniversary tribute episode, which was on the 5th of Feb. And guys, you can easily access all these episodes that I'm speaking about. They don't automatically disappear just because I am leaving the podcast. Just go to timeslive.co.za, go to the multimedia tab, go to podcasts and click on Sports Live. There you will have the full list of our previous conversation. But for now, for this very last episode with me, Sbum Jikeliso, as your host, we have Lebohang Manyama. Really hope you enjoyed. I enjoyed it. One of the best interviews I've done this year. And I'm glad I can go out like this. I can give you guys some of my best, absolute, absolute best work. I'm sitting with Lebohang Manyama, Kaizer Chiefs attacking midfielder or striker, depending on what job you want him to play on the field on that particular day. Welcome and thanks for agreeing to chat with me, brother.
Spuda, it's always a pleasure, man. Yeah. How's the season been so far? I know when by the time of this conversation, Chiefs are top of the log with a nice gap at the top. But how's it been for you to be back in South Africa and to be back playing regularly again?
Yeah, obviously, it's been a good season, I think, for the team. You know, for a lot of guys have done pretty well, you know, to put ourselves in the position that we're in, you know, at this moment. And yeah, for me personally, you know, it's more of a relief, you know, that I've managed to play all the games, you know, this season. Obviously, coming from the obviously the disappointments in Turkey, and then coming back with the injuries, you know, the car accidents, you know, certain things that I couldn't control, you know. But yeah, I always had the support of the team, you know, support of the coach, the whole KZ Chiefs, you know, just to they helped me, you know, in terms of getting obviously my confidence back first and foremost, you know, and yeah, obviously coming back to help the team. And I can't say I've really hit top form, you know, but yeah, I think so far so good.
Yeah, a lot of people, I'm not sure if you had this in the back of your mind, but a lot of people had been waiting to see Lebohang Manyama in one of the top three teams. So when you got to Chiefs, did you feel like you had a point to prove?
Obviously, separated Chiefs, you know, from a very young age, you know, always thought I could eventually join the club, you know. Obviously, it couldn't happen a couple of years ago. Mm. But yeah, I mean, to play for Chiefs, you know, it's pressure itself, pressure every day, you know. It becomes part of your life, you know, and it's kind of pressure that I like, you know, in terms of there's no easy games, there's no friendly games. At Chiefs, you have to be at top of your performance each and every day, you know. And obviously, you have to also live in a certain way because you represent so many people, you know, the support that we have. So yeah, it's been good, you know. It's pressure that I enjoy a lot, you know. I always try to fight for the team, obviously for the fans. You know, they've been with us through thick and thin, you know. And yeah, I think so far so good. But obviously we know where we want to head as a team, you know. But you got to take it one day at a time also.
Yeah, and it looks like you have the right chess pieces. Do you enjoy the players you play around? I mean, if you look at that front four, you're talking Kamabilia, you're talking Castro, you're talking Nukovic, yourself. I mean, and right there in the mix, George Stigio is there. Do you enjoy the guys that you're surrounded by?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's a lot of talent in the team. A lot of good youngsters that have also come in, you know. And I think the most important thing is that I think the senior guys have stepped up, you know. It makes it easier for the young ones. And obviously, yeah, playing with players that are of Kamas level, Nukovic, you know, Castro, you know what they've done before, you know, Bennett Parker, Katsandel, George, as you mentioned, you know, those are heavily experienced players, you know. And I think we've stepped up, you know, the Carusos, the Towers, they've done very well. A couple of other senior guys, you know, Rama, they've been around. Idu, you know, Daniel is a number one for Nigeria, you know. Then you have obviously Bruce that's coming also from the AFCON. I think we've mixed it well. The young ones also, you know, the Zuma stepping up also, always helping the team, changing games for us, changing crucial games for us, you know. So I think it's more or less what's worked for us is that we've played as a team and we've stuck together, you know, in good and bad days, because we know you cannot play well every day. You cannot win each and every game, you know. But yeah, we take it, and we've had our circle that we say we keep everything within us and we fight for each other. And if it doesn't work out, then we'll try again in the next one.
Yeah, I want to take it back a little bit to your time at Cape Town City, where you were nothing short of sensational, scoring goals, assisting, playing with was Aubrey Ngoma. Yeah. I mean, that season where you were PSL Player of the Year 2016-2017. Did you ever think that maybe? Did you ever go through that season and think, man, it just football doesn't get better than this, or if you'd ever reach those levels of playing again?
Yeah, obviously I wanna do well each and every game that I play. And obviously that year was very special for me, but also very special for a team like Cape Town City, because you know nobody gave us a chance. And also even there, I played with some very good players. You mentioned Aubrey, you know, the likes of Robert Joannes. They were very good. Roland Pucher, you know, Nodada was showing signs of the player he is today, you know. The Judas, Siamedi, we had very good players.
Hey, look at him now, Judas.
Yeah. We had a very good squad. Also there, it was more of a, you know, being a leader, you know, but there were also other leaders that helped me a lot, you know. Vincent Kobola was the main guy, you know, that led us through everything because of his experience, obviously, you know. And yeah, everybody keeps on saying, you know, can I reach that level?
Would you top goal scorer and top assist, or was Aubrey the top assist?
Aubrey was the top assist.
Okay. But, you were also high in the assist category as well.
Yeah. You know, I think obviously you grow up, you know, I was still young at the time. Now it's a matter of also the position that I have to play, because like you mentioned, you know, you have Kama, you have Castro, you have Nokovic, people that are firing in all cylinders, you know, Zuma. So I've had to probably play a bit back, you know. But yeah, I mean, it's a position that the coach trusts me with, the guys trust me with, you know. So obviously its roles are different, and obviously now I'm a bit more deeper, you know. But yeah, I try every day, you know, to obviously contribute, you know. Sitting on like 11 is assists now, I think. It's good, you know. I still believe I can score more, but obviously our front three is just nothing less of sensational, you know. Yeah. They're scoring in all cylinders. They're scoring week in, week out.
Yeah.
So there's nothing we can do. We cannot change that, you know, just to accommodate me, because maybe I want to play a bit higher. Sometimes I think I drop back, and it's more for the team, you know. Like, it's not about individual. So I'm not really worried about being the best, you know, Chiefs. All I want to do is obviously put Chiefs where it belongs, you know, and contribute in that. And then we'll see individual rewards, what will happen. But it's not really on my mind.
Yeah. Do you enjoy the responsibility side of it, whereby, you know, we spoke about pressure early on. I think you captained at Aces. You captained at City.
I captained at Cape Town City.
Yeah. Do you enjoy that responsibility?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's I've been in the game my 10th season now, and obviously when you get to that kind of age, obviously with the experience that I've had, I also have to share it, you know, to the Happy Mashianis, the Novos, you know, the Njabulo Ploms, you know. So yeah, I mean, the coach has given me that responsibility with the other guys, obviously, with the other guys that have been even there longer than me, you know, and I learn from them every day. And yeah, it's a responsibility that I enjoy, because obviously, you know, in life there's pressure everywhere, so you gotta live with it. It's not much of a problem for me.
And the Turkey experience, how was that for you?
No, it was very nice, you know. Played with some very good players. I was fortunate, you know, to play with probably the best ever African player, you know, and Samuel Eto'o, you know, and learned a lot. Obviously, it was difficult, you know, having three coaches in one season, you know, and obviously the coach that brought me there when he left, and it became more difficult, you know. But yeah, I mean, it didn't really break me, you know. It was disappointing that I couldn't really show what I could do, you know, obviously because of football politics, but It's an experience that I went through, and it didn't really break me, you know. I took that with me, and I said, yeah, sometimes it doesn't work out, you know. So if it doesn't work out, you have to move on, and you have to learn from it.
Yeah, and did it, you know, reinvigorate your desire? Maybe, you know, sometimes you can be at the top of the mountain, and then, you know, sometimes you think that everything is coming too easy. Did it sort of, you know, wake you up to the fact that, hey, I can still play, I can still work hard and contribute to teams?
Yeah, obviously, I'm a player that trains very well, you know, and when you see yourself training very well but not getting that chance, it becomes frustrating, you know, and also far away from home, you know. So it was really, really, really tough, but yeah, it didn't break me, because I'm one person that believes in themselves, you know. I believe in myself that, look, if it doesn't work out, then let's try the next one, you know. And luckily, And I knew that if I wanted to come back home, I had options to go. You know, I had options, a couple of options. But obviously, Kaizer Chiefs was the one that I thought, you know, let me go to Chiefs, you know, to obviously with a huge fan base to bring my confidence back, you know. Unfortunately, I didn't have a preseason with them. And then I came back and I tried to get fitter and fitter. Yeah. Then there was the accident, the knee op in Jan. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was one bad thing to another. Yeah. But I, obviously, I've got a very good support base. You know, I've got a very nice family. They supported me, you know, and the club helped me through all of this, you know. And I felt important, even though I wasn't playing, you know.
Yeah, on the field.
But
yeah.
I could see that, you know, there's huge belief in me from the coaches, you know, from Kaizer Chiefs, that eventually if I get a full preseason, they not have the kind of season that I'm having right now, you know. So yeah, it didn't really bother me that it didn't work out in Turkey. The thing is, when things like that don't work out, then, you know, there's so many people that want to speak, like they know the story, but only I know what happened, you know, and people that are close to me. So I left it, and yeah, here I am right now, still pushing, still fighting.
Yeah, it seems like the experience made you stronger, and that's really what it's about. I think we're supposed to grow and then be a better person, be a better player. Yeah. Are you still close with my man, Pierre?
Yeah, I think he's a father figure, you know, he's everything. He's done a lot for me, you know, and I don't think there's any way that I can repay him, you know, because he's done so much for me, for my family, still does, you know, we still speak each and every day. We usually live 5 minutes from each other, you know, and yeah, somebody that I hold in high regards, you know, first as a person, and obviously secondly as what he's achieved in his life, you know. So yeah, we're very, very close.
Growing up in Alex, now you grew up in Alex.
Yeah.
Did you, when you make it out and you become a footballer, do you feel, I think in the States they call it survivor's remorse, where, you know, you left a lot of friends behind, you left a lot of people that you grew up with, and a lot of them look at how successful you are. Do you often feel, I don't want to say feel bad, but do you feel some sort of responsibility to your community?
Yeah, of course. I mean, first and foremost, I represent Alexander. I try to put Alex on the map, you know. But yeah, like you said, you leave a whole lot of people, but it's about choices, you know. I think we all have a choice coming from such a tough place, you know, and sacrifices. You have to sacrifice, you know, for your dreams. And I chose that path, you know, but I'm not that kind of person that thinks he's better than everybody, you know. Even in my hood, they know I'm very humble because I know where I come from, you know, first and foremost. And yeah, I try to help in whichever way I can, you know, but obviously people will think you can do everything, you know. But sometimes you can't, because I also have a responsibility, also have a family, you know. But yeah, I try to help. I'm always in Alex most of my time, you know, because I still have friends there and people that don't see me different, you know. I'm still the same guy that grew up there.
You still hang out there.
Yeah, I hang out there. Still a lot of friends, you know, that I grew up with. But yeah, I mean, obviously, when you come out of such places, it also builds you to be stronger, you know, and it's very important that you don't forget that where you come from, you know. That must keep you pushing, you know, because you don't want to go back there again, be in that place. But obviously, I try also to help others, as I was helped by my money pool, you know. Try to help others reach for their dreams, you know. But obviously, you cannot help everybody. But I still do my best, and I think people in Alex know that I try.
They still appreciate your contribution.
Yeah.
No, that's great, man. And, you know, people think that Turkey is tough, but South Africa can be a tough place. I'd like to see how many Turkish players could come and live here in South Africa, you know, but that would be quite interesting. But back onto the, you know, your growth and everything else, you know, I like to speak to a lot of pros about what they would like to do, you know, post their career. I know you're very focused right now on being successful for Chiefs, but when the highs of being a pro elite footballer are finished, what's Lebo Manyama going to do?
obviously try to give back, you know, the community, obviously try to get not another Lebo Manyama, but obviously another player that can most probably reach even the higher than I've reached, you know. Yeah, but I don't know about coaching. I think it's football it's got so much, you know. But yeah, I mean, obviously we discuss it, you know, with my manager, you know, see what we can do. And then yeah, obviously you gotta also secure life after football, you know. So we try to, you know, see what we can work on, you know, try to see how life can be, but I think I'm a bit far off from that.
You still have a lot of football.
I'll still be very much involved in the game, you know, because in this game, you know, you cannot leave it just like that. It's something that you grow up with, loving. So you also gotta, you know, try to help others, you know, reach their highest potential.
Sure.
But not only in football, you know, life is so many things, you know. So yeah, we'll see as the years go by, but obviously there's foundations that we try to lay, you know, to see obviously how life is going to be after football.
How do you motivate yourself on a day-to-day basis? Is it music? Is it, do you have people to you talk to? What drives you? How do you get yourself up when you're feeling a bit down on your luck?
First and foremost, I appreciate every day, you know, because not everybody makes it every day. You know, you have to understand you are blessed to have seen another day, you know, because life is as it is. But yeah, I want to be better every day. First and foremost, be a better person. Obviously, try to improve on my weaknesses in terms of football. But most importantly is try to be a better person, try to learn, put so much knowledge, you know, about life, because you can never know everything in life. It can never be perfect, you know. And yeah, I think it's more or less obviously enjoying being, you know, being blessed, being grateful for what I am, for who I am. You know, I think that's what motivates me, and to know that there's millions and millions that could have been where I am, but they're not there. So I must know that I'm really, really, really blessed, and be grateful to it, but also respect, you know, everything that I am.
Yeah, and playing for Chiefs in its 50th anniversary year, what does that mean?
It's a huge honor, you know. It's something I think probably it will never be forgotten, you know. It'll just be part of the history, you know, because obviously, you know, Chiefs is a very big team, you know. Obviously the past couple of years haven't been successful, you know, but I think we are slowly coming there, you know. But yeah, we take it one game at a time, you know. We keep on trying every day to improve on things that we don't do well in the past games or probably in the past training session, you know. But it's a huge honor to be part of such an institution, you know. It's probably, I think, by far the best, you know, institution I've seen in South Africa, you know, the way it's all run, the professionalism, the fans. I don't think there's a team that's sold out games like we have this season.
Yeah, there's a time where it's just,
you know,
game after game,
different provinces, you know. So yeah, you have to understand that you're representing millions and millions, and people love Chiefs so much. So you have to give 150% each and every day, whether it's a training, whether it's matches.
Yeah.
You have to be at your best, you know. But obviously you cannot be at your best every day, but at least try, you know. We try to show that we play for the badge with a lot of passion, you know, and I don't know who said
Chiefs doesn't play any away games.
I don't think we have an away game, because everywhere we have the most fans. That comes with winning games, you know. And if we keep on doing well, then we keep on having more fans, you know, coming to the stadium, because at the end of the day, these people pay their money, you know. Some even bet with their money, you know, to watch us. So you have to know that you have to give your best each and every day. I know sometimes it doesn't work out, they get angry, but yeah, we are also human beings. We cannot be perfect each and every day, you know, but we try to give 150 in all the games that we play and make sure that we come out on top, you know. And obviously make sure that it's good for their money's worth, you know. So yeah, we're very grateful for the support, you know, and we'll keep on trying to get better and better.
Now, finally, what could you learn from Kaizer Motaung Senior? He's like the father figure, obviously, at Kaizer Chiefs. Well, not just the Chiefs. I mean, he's a person admired in the business world. He's admired throughout football, let alone what a skillful and talented player he was. He became a national treasure. To have him, like, you know, in the same corridors as Naturine as you guys every day. Do you guys actually appreciate the fact that here you are, you know, playing for this club, but also is there if you want to speak to the chairman, shake his hand?
Yeah, I think the best thing about the chairman is that he's so humble, you know, he's so down to earth. You can see how he got to be where he is today and why he put Chiefs where Chiefs is today. You know, you can see that he breathes probably the club, you know. He's so humble, you know. After all the achievements, you can see that he still wants Chiefs to get better. He still wants to be a better person, you know. And I think the humility is the best thing about him. And I think it's what's made him build such an institution, but also contribute so much in South Africa in terms of football and all the businesses that he's involved in, you know. It's because I think he's so humble and hardworking, you know. And I think that drops off everyone at the village, you know. And you could see that the club is brought up with a lot of love, you know, and a lot of hard work through him, you know, but also, you know, through the person that he is, you know. And I think we're very lucky to be there, you know. First and foremost, I think that's the one thing that he keeps on repeating, that, you know, we must know that everybody wants to, there's a lot of people that want to be a Chiefs, but we are the chosen ones, you know. So we must appreciate first and foremost him and appreciate being Kaizer Chiefs players, you know, because it's not everyone that can be there, and that's why we have to fight for the badge week in, week out, and also show gratitude, you know, for what the chairman has done for Kaizer Chiefs and South African football.
Yeah, and now I don't want to jinx it, but that trophy, the Absa Premiership, do you want to see yourselves holding it at the end of the season?
Yeah, obviously we would love to, you know, we would love to, but same, I think it's the same at Sundowns, it's the same at Vets, it's the same at Pirates, and how they're playing right now, you know, SuperSport always there in the mix, you know, we would love to, but it's not something that we talk about, you know. We talk about the next game, trying to be better tomorrow, trying to be better the day after tomorrow, you know. We don't think about the 9th of May, but yeah, we are human, you know. Obviously, it crosses your mind. And you try to picture yourself, you know, holding that trophy, but you know, we've got stiff challenges, we're still coming, you know. You know, Sundowns will never give up, you know. Pirates will always be there. Vets are a very tough team,
yeah,
you know, to play against. SuperSport, very good. I think that's more or less the top six that's the other five teams that are behind us, you know. Those are the teams that we know that we still have to play, you know. We still have to play Sundowns, we still have to play Pirates, we have to play Vets twice, you know, and at the gap that we have could all be gone in those games, you know. So it's very important that we just think about the next game, you know, and then after that game we think about the next one, you know, not try to think about the end product or where we're going to end up. I think it's just to enjoy the moment and try to be better in the next game and just take it one day at a time, you know.
Excellent stuff. Thanks for chatting to us, brother. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. All right, that's Lebohang Manyama, Kaizer Chiefs attacking midfielder / striker. Hey, depending on where you want to play him. The man will probably play in defense if you need him to.
But no, thanks for the team everywhere.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you very much.
Cheers, brother.
That's it from me, Sbum Jikeliso, and you've been listening to the Sports Live podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity that I've gotten, the freedom to express myself, to put out the content that we've put out for this podcast. And yes, it did win us an award, an SAB award. I've done my part, and I really hope whoever takes it on from here takes the podcast forward. You will be hearing from me soon, but details of that you'll get on my social media. Follow me on Twitter. I'm @Sbu_Mjigeliso. pretty much everywhere. Instagram as well, at @swoo_mjigeli. So that's where you'll catch my next move. All right, I'm out. Cheers.